Good morning. Today's daf and makos is Yud Dalet. We fell a little bit behind yesterday on Shabbos. We're on Yud Gimel. We are right after the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Started yesterday the third parak of the Masechta, and we're talking about Chayvei Malkus. As we know, short Masechta, three prakim, could be really the end, the conclusion of Masechta Sanhedrin. But in any event, in the third and final parak, we're talking about Malkus, the last of the punishments of a Sanhedrin. Gone through most of it. We've talked about the Chayvei Mises Beis Din. We talked about Edim Zomimim. Last parak we talked about Ritzicha B'Shogeg. And now we're up to Malkus, corporal punishment given by Beis Din in the event that somebody violates a lav. The Mishnah rattled off yesterday a number of lavim in the Torah, which one's going to be receiving Malkus. Obviously, the Mishnah is not an exhaustive list. It doesn't mention all the cases of Malkus. The Mishnah is giving examples that are chidushim. And one of those chidushim that mentioned the Mishnah is that even though the lav that a person violated is coupled together with an issur kares, the Mishnah tells us that one is going to be subject to malchus. So arayis is one of the examples, like the first half dozen so examples of the Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah starts off with habal achos, achos aviv, achos imo, achos ishto, eishes achiv, eishes achi aviv. So all different examples of arayis, which these have the issur kares with them. And so the chiddush of the Mishnah is that despite the fact that they have an issur kares, in the event that there are eidim v'asra, so they're going to receive malchus. That's what we're learning together in the Mishnah. And that leads us now to the Gemara. We're going to start with the Gemara this morning on the bottom of Yud Gimel Min Aleph. And the Gemara immediately reflects on the fact that even though there's a kares penalty, there's also going to be a malchus penalty as well. Highlights of things to come. We're going to be discussing some of the most basic issues today regarding Chayvei Malkus, and notably the principle of Mishum Risha Achas Tamechav Aviyah Tamechav Vishtim Shev Rishayos, which is the basic principle and concept that comes up in Shas, the idea that Beis Din is only going to be able to give one punishment, not two punishments. So if a particular action has with it, associated with it, multiple punishments, so Beis Din only going to be able to enforce one of the punishments, not multiple punishments. When it comes, however, over here too, arise in the Torah with an issur kares. So seemingly there are two punishments. It's kares and it's malchus as well. You already probably intuitively know that this is not a perfect example of Rishon Risha Achas HaTamechayvo, because over here it's not Beis Din that's exercising both these punishments. One of the kares is coming from upstairs and the malchus is coming from downstairs. The Beis Din Shomala is set up to take care of the kares, and the Beis Din Shomata is set up to take care of the malchus. So obviously, intuitively, you already see them as being different from one another. Okay, and all this is going to be explored in the course of today's daf. Very bottom of the amud, we start with the following. Chayvei Krisus Katani. Chayvei Mises Beis Din Lo Katani. You'll notice the Mishnah, you notice the examples that are given in the Mishnah, and you notice the examples that are not given in the Mishnah. The examples not given in the Mishnah are Chayvei Mises Beis Din. So let's say, for example, Chilul Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos, Chayvei Mises Beis Din. A person intentionally violates Shabbos, subject to skila. That example is not given in the Mishnah. Now, that means as follows. We'll be more specific about what it means. But in the event that, let's say, Edom come over and say, you know what Shabbos today, and you know what you're about to do is a malacha, and the person says, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. And the Edom say, you know, it's a lav in the Torah, you're going to get malchus. Now, the Edom are a little bit off over here, because it is a lav in the Torah, but it's subject to Misa. But anyway, but the Edom warn in terms of malchus. So the Mishnah does not give this as an example, and presumably because there's no such thing as malchus as it comes to Chayvei Mises Beis Din. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mani Rabbi Kiva hi detanya. So in terms of who the author of our Mishnah is, it is Rabbi Kiva. Detanya, we learned in the Braisa. Echa v'chayvei Krisus v'echa Chayvei Mises Beis Din. We now turn to the top of Amud Beis of Yigimel. Yeshna b'chal malchus arbaim divrei Rabbi Yishmael. As far as the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael is concerned, there's Chayvei Malkus together with any lav in the Torah, and I say any, it includes Chayvei Krisus and it includes Chayvei Mises Beis Din as well. And what does that mean? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, Hashu Sakadacha, Rashi says at this point in the Gemara, here's what we're thinking. We are thinking, Shem Isru Bo Misa Malkus Loke Umes. Edom come along and say, you know it's Shabbos, and you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. And in the event where along comes the Edom and say, you know, it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that at Shabbos, and you're subject to Mises Beis Din, and you're subject to Malkus. So right now, we think that according to Rabbi Shmuel, the person who then deliberately, intentionally violates Shabbos is going to get both. He's going to get Misa, and he's going to get Malkus. Okay, stay tuned. Malkus and Misa. Well, right, correct. No, that's an excellent correction. right? To get Misa and then Mafal by Malkus probably is not right. That doesn't sound that helpful in terms of punishment is concerned. Okay, you're right. Good correction. Okay, Malkus followed by Misa. The Rabbi Kiva Omer, back to the Gemara. So that's sheet number one. Sheet number two is Rabbi Kiva. And that's Chayv Krisus Yeshlo Bechlam Malkus Arba'im. Shemasu Tshuva Beisin Shomala Mochlehem. Chayv Misa's Beisin Ena Bechlam Malkus Arba'im. Shemasu Tshuva Ein Beisin Shomata Mochlehem. Shitas Rabbi Akiva is that you're not gonna, that if it's a lav that has karis, you are gonna get malchus. If it's a lav that has misas basin, you're not gonna get malchus. Even if, let's say like the Rashi now, even if you're gonna get hasram for malchus, you're not gonna get malchus if it is chayvi misas basin. Masha'inkein, if it is chayvi krisus, you are gonna get malchus. Now, he makes the argument and he says, you know why? Because im asuchuva basin shal ma, So he goes on, Rabbi Kiva goes on this argument that, you know, for kares, if you do tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you for the kares. What does that have anything to do with over here? So Rashi explains. Because what Rabbi Kiva is doing is really what, at this point in time, Rabbi Kiva is sidestepping a question. The question which I already presented in the intro, which is, how can you get malchus and kares? Isn't that a dual punishment? And isn't the rule, and so what Rabbi Kiva sidestepping the question is saying is as follows. Kares is not a real penalty. Meaning, of course it is. And it's as real as they come. But, in other words, it's something which could be applied, but also can be rescinded. Masha Enkein, something like Malka, something like Mrs. Bezdin. Once you did the act, once there was Bezdin, once there was a warning, so at that point in time, we are on a path of no return. Meaning, Beis Din now has to give you Malkus, Beis Din has to give you Mrs. Beis Din. And you'll say, oh, but I'll do tshuva. At that point in time, it's just simply too late. The crime was committed, the warning was given, Beis Din has to give those punishments. Kares doesn't work that way. Kares, even though a person does something which would bring about a Kares penalty, with tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu can rescind it. So the only time that you're violating the rule of Mishum Shtei Rishayos is when there are two punishments that are irrevocable. If one of those punishments is revocable, like kares, so then you're not violating the rule of shtei v'shayas. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. And then finally, there's a third shita. It's the same basic idea. Right. That's chabur discussion. That's an ian discussion. Yeah. The differences between kimlem b'derabbanan versus shtei v'shayas. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Chayvi Krisus Bechlal Hayu, V'lama Yatzas Kares B'Achoso, L'Adum B'Kares V'Lo B'Malkos. And Rabbi Yitzchak speaks about this idea that B'Chayvi Krisus, that was a generality, and then meanwhile, when it comes to Achoso, meaning, as we've discussed already a number of times, the Arayos are mentioned twice in the Torah, back-to-back Parshios. It's mentioned in Achrimos, and it's mentioned again in Kedoshim, Parshios Kedoshim. In Parshios Achrimos, the Torah sets up the Lavim, right? Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Now, those are all the Azharas Sheba Torah. And then in Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah goes over the Onshim, the punishments. And meanwhile, in Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah, by Achoso, repeats that it's an Isser Kares. So it mentions it back in Achrimos, it also mentions the Kedoshim as well. So it's repetitive in nature. Why would the Torah need to repeat it? So Rabbi Yitzchak says, I know the answer. The reason why it's repeated is because the Torah is going out of its way by achoso, relations with one sister, that it's kares to the exclusion of malchus. That's how Yitzchak understands it. And then we have a principle, Yigim Amidash HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem, that when you have a generality, and the Torah points it out in one of the examples that are given, lo alak, ela alakla kula yafsa lalamed. That what it really is doing is reflecting on the entire principle, which means really that it's not just limited to achoso, but in any case that there's a kares penalty, so there's not going to be any malchus. That is shitas Rav Yitzchak. So far now we are fully introduced to all three shitas regarding does malchus come in conjunction with shitas Rav Yishmael is that malchus comes in conjunction with any law in the Torah, be it Mrs. Beis Din, be it kares, malchus will come in conjunction with those two. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Malkus will only come in conjunction with Kares, but not in conjunction with Mises Beis Din. And finally, the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak, Malkus comes in conjunction with nothing. In other words, not in the context of Mises Beis Din, and not in the context of even Kares as well. Okay.
Rabbi
Shmuel says Malkus comes with Mrs. Beisner. Rabbi Kiva says that Malkus does not come with Mrs. Beisner, it only comes with Karis. If I said otherwise, I misspoke. But that's those are the three shittas. My time at the Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, so what's behind the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel? So here we are now in the Gemara. We're going to go step by step through the three shittas, analysis of all three shittas. So dichsiv im lo sishma la'asos is called divrei Torah zos. Uksiv v'yifla Hashem asmakos cha. So the Gemara quotes in two psukim, and in the two psukim, the first pasuk of the Torah describes kol Torah, meaning we have this principle that something has a uniformity for the entire Torah, and then the Torah says that you're going to get hifla. Now, hifla zu eni yadema ma'i kishu amr v'hipilu ha'shofe v'hikau lefanav ha'vayomer hifla zu malkus. So using a combination of a couple of psukim, we know that hifla is a reference to malkus. Uksivim lo sishma laso says kol. And the Torah says that if you don't do the entire Torah, which means that every avera in the Torah is eligible for malkus. So the Gemara says, yachi chayve ase nami. Well, really? Well, what about if you violate an asay? So the failure to perform a mitzvah saseh should also get malchus, right? So the Gemara says no. Im lo sishmor ksiv. So the Gemara says no, because the Torah here, even though it says kol divrei Torah, it also falls in under shamor. And we know that shamor is one of the key words that tips us off that's speaking about a lav. Ukid Rabbi Avin, da'amar Rabbi Elai, da'amar Rabbi Avin, da'amar Rabbi Elai, kol makom shenamar shamor pen va'al, eino ela lo saseh. You see the Torah open up with the words hishamer or pen or al. That tips us off that it's talking about a lav in the Torah. And it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, of course, also the word lo. Okay, that too. Ihach ilav shem b'maisa nami. So the Gemara says, what about lav shem b'maisa? The Gemara says lasos ksiv. Yeah, but again, it says that there has to be an asiya that's involved. So right now, any lav in the Torah, not an asay, but any lav in the Torah, and there must be an asiya, meaning that in order to violate it, you must do an action to violate it, it's subject to malchus. Lav shenitzak lasei nami. What about a lav where the Torah remedies the situation? Like for example, though it was debatable, but like for example, nosar. Nosar is a lav in the Torah leaving something over, where the Torah says that if you leave, I'm going to say something, I mean karbonos. If you leave karbonos over, so your violation of the lav of lo sasir mimenu ad boker. Now, I know it's not a great example because it's also a lav shem b'maisa. But okay, so it's not the best example. But the Torah says that if you do, so ba'ish tisrof, we're going to burn in fire. So in other words, it's a lav followed by the Torah's remedying of what do you do in the event that you violate the lav. This is what's classically known as a lav shenitak laseh. For a lav anitak laseh, you're not going to get malchus. But how does Rabbi Shmuel know that? So the Gemara says, dumi d'lav d'chasima. The Gemara says, in order to be eligible for malchus, it has to be patterned itself after the law in the Torah of chasima, of lo sachsom shor bedisho. You're not allowed to muzzle your animal as it's threshing in the threshing floor. Rather, the animal has to be allowed to bend down in order to eat some of the wheat or grain that it's threshing. Right? The idea, although the Torah doesn't spell this out, the idea is that it's sarbali chayim, meaning it's cruel to the animal. The animal's working with food and the animal's not allowed to eat any of the food. Although, again, the Torah doesn't spell that out. That's Tamei HaMitzvos. But in order to be subject to Malkus, it has to follow that kind of dynamic. Where it's a lav, it is a lav sheyesh b'maisa, meaning the Torah says not to muzzle the animal. To violate it means that you have to actively muzzle the animal. And it's not a lav shenitak laseh. There's no remedying the situation in the event that you didn't. Well, you could take it off, but now it's too late. Yeah, okay. So lav chasima, hashad asasachi kulanami dumi lav de chasima. The Gemara says, great. Once we have the prototype lav, all the previous questions that we asked, what about an asay? What about a lav shem b'maisa? Meaning the prototype of lo sachsom shor bedisho answers up all the previous questions. Okay. So far, what do we have now? A presentation of Shitas Rabbi Shmuel that you're eligible for malchus for averas that both are coupled with kares and even averas that are coupled with mises basin. And again, I'll say it like the Rashi on the top of the Amud. That means to say that if the Eidim give you Hasra for both, so you're going to get both. And as I was properly corrected this morning, first the Malkus, then the Mises Beis Din. Okay. That's all Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva, my taima, kidei rishasa, mishum risha achas, atamechai, v'via tamechai, v'mishum shtei rishayas. And Rabbi Kiva says, why are you not going to get both Malkus and Mises Beis Din? Because that's two punishments. and you can't get two punishments. Meaning the Torah gives very clear instruction to Beis Din that they're only allowed to give one onesh and not two onshim. Okay, now, and that seems to be a klal. That seems to be a standard rule. And of course the question now goes back to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, what are you going to do with that? Rabbi Shmuel, hani mili misas mamon o makos mamon. Rabbi Shmuel says, I agree with that principle. What I'm going to disagree with is the application of that principle. So the principle is going to be true if, let's say, the two penalties are the death penalty together coupled with monetary penalty. Like, for example, the Gemara gives this example a number of times. Let's say, through Chilul Shabbos, you also damage somebody else's property, right? You light somebody's house on fire. In that one act, you violated Havara, and you also violated Nezek. You caused damage. So that's an example of Miso Mamon. So again, Mishum Risha'achas, Tamechaiva, Via Tamechaiva, Mishum Shev Rishayos. Only Beis Din can only give one penalty. Or, for example, Miso Mamon. I'm sorry. Hani Mila Miso Mamon, Omakos Mamon. Or let's say a person violated a lav, and with that lav that he violated, also there was some sort of Nezek that was done. So there too, Mishum Risha'achas, Tamechaiva. Ava Miso Makos, Misa Arichtehi. But Rabbi Shmuel is going to argue like this, that when it comes to Misa Makos, it's not two different punishments. Malchus can be filed under Misa. Now, the person's not going to die through Malchus, but as we already discussed, and we're going to discuss later in the Perek, he could. Meaning, it is a possibility, but more fundamentally than that. In other words, what Malchus is really is the Chalishas Haguf. What you're really doing is that you're weakening the body. Now, Misa is the ultimate Chalishas Haguf, meaning you're more than weakening the body, but at least categorically, they file under the same category. And so therefore, Rabbi Shmuel will argue that it's not a violation of Shtei Rishayos because it's not really two different punishments.
Well, the Rabbi...
Well, the Rabbi Akiva Yachi Chai Vekrisos Nami. So the Gemara says, now, according to Rabbi Akiva, where Shtei Rishayos, and Shtei Rishayos means that we are... Beis Din is forbidden to give two different punishments. So according to Rabbi Akiva, so Karis and Malchus, isn't that two different punishments? Maya Marshi Masu Tshuva Hashtami Alo Avde. And what do you want to argue? Well, we already made the argument, but the Gemara is just repeating, reviewing the argument for us. What do you want to argue? Well, Karis is revocable. And so that Karis doesn't count as a penalty. To which the Gemara basically now dismisses that argument. I know Karis is revocable, but right now, as a Navarian, is he subject to Karis? Yes. Is it revocable later? Yeah, sure. With Tshuva, sure it is. But right now, it's here. So if right now it's here, and the rule is, so then you can't give Karis and Malchus. And again, I know the argument is that Karis is revocable, but that's later. But that's not now. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abau, Befer Shrub Satorah, Chai V'Krisus LaMalchus. All right. So what we're now going to do is that basically, or what it seems that Gemara is doing, is Gemara is abandoning the argument of the fact that Karis is revocable, and now what the Gemara is going to do is offer a new pshat, or a new drasha for Rabbi Kiva, in terms of how you know you're going to be receiving both Karis and Malchus. So the Gemara now heads down a new path. Gamar Leine Meleinecha. So what we're going to do now, what the Gemara is going to do now, is it's going to learn Igzer Shava on behalf of Rabbi Akiva. Now this Gzer Shava is based on two pasukim. One pasuk says, V'nichrusu le'inei b'nei amam. Okay, the pasuk is in Parshas Kedoshim, talking about the Issacharis. And the Torah says, le'inei. Also, going forward in the Torah to Parshas Kiseitzei, Torah says, V'nikla achicha le'inecha, in reference to Malchus. So, we have the words le'enei by Kares. We have the words le'enecha by Malchus. So, And the limud is coming to tell me that even in a scenario where there's Kares, there's also going to exist in that as well Malchus. So, So the Gemara says, if really this is a Gzera Shava based halacha, so the Gemara says, we have another Gzera Shava. And that is, that the Torah says, le'enei, as it relates to Malchus. The Torah also says, me'enecha, as it relates to Avodah Zarah. And the punishment for Avodah Zarah is, of course, Chayvei Mises Beis Din. So the Gemara says, so why don't we make a Gzeirah Shavah over there? Now, a lot of this discussion coming up in the Gemara is a little bit hard to understand because Gzeirah Shavah has to be handed down from Rebbe to Talmud and Rebbe to Talmud. And the Gemara over here entertaining the idea of maybe there's a Gzeirah Shavah over here. Well, what does that mean, maybe there's a Gzeirah Shavah? In other words, either there is or there isn't. You have a Kabbalah, you don't have a Kabbalah. Right? It's part of the Masorah, it's not part of the Masorah. So I'm just acknowledging that it's a little bit tricky to learn these Gemaras. If Gzeirah Shavah is black and white, handed down, Talmud, Rebbe. I suppose what you're going to have to say, although I don't have a Mar Makom off the top of my head right now, but you're going to have to say something along the lines of, even though, yes, Gzeirah Shavah comes through Masorah, but it could be that Masorah maybe was somewhat unclear. It was an opaque Masorah. Maybe they knew the general words for the Gzeirah Shavah. They didn't know exactly which words to pinpoint one to another. Something along those lines. Okay, anyway. So the Gemara is now entertaining the idea that maybe there's another Gzeirah Shavah to be taught. Meaning, if Rabbi Akiva learns that the Gzeirah Shavah of Karis Malkus, tell me that even in a case where this Karis is also going to be Malkus, so there's also Gzeirah Shavah, seemingly, for Malkus Mises Beis Din. That even a case where there's Mises Beis Din, there's going to be Malkus as well. So the Gemara says, Danim le'enei me'le'enecha, ve'in danim me'enei me'le'enecha. So the Gemara says, well, the former Gzeirah Shavah is a better Gzeirah Shavah because the words are a better match. It's not a perfect match, but it's better. Meaning we're comparing the words or we're connecting the words le'enei to le'enecha. They both have the prefix lamed. As opposed to the second Gzeirah Shavah, the latter Gzeirah Shavah, where it's le'enei and me'enecha. So it's a better match. So the Gemara says, my nafkamina. And the Gemara says, really? That's going to make a difference? An often made point throughout Shas is that when it comes to Gzeirah Shavah, as long as the words are synonymous, as long as they mean the same thing, so then you can make a Gzeirah Shavah. And here, without going through the details of what this halacha is referencing, it's talking about negebatim, it's talking about saras on a house, in terms of removing the stone, replacing it, removing it a second week, replacing it, again, not for now. The point for now that we'll just simply highlight is that the Gzeirah Shavah is made based on the fact that the words don't have to be the same as long as they're synonymous, that's good enough. And over here, you're telling me, me'enei versus le'enei, le'enei is a better match, therefore there's a Gzeirah Shavah. The Gemara says it doesn't matter. As long as the words mean the same thing, you can make a Gzeirah Shavah. Va'od. Ligmar me'enei me'enei. Le'enei, da'ha gamar, le'enei me'le'enecha. And the Gemara says, and furthermore, the better Gzeirah Shavah is le'enei, as mentioned by Chayvei Krisus, and me'enei, which is mentioned by Chayvei Mises Beis Din, meaning as opposed to le'enecha, which is, again, it's not exactly the same word. So, in other words, basically now, if it's up to the better matching words, the Gemara is basically saying, A, that doesn't matter when it comes to Gzeirah Shavah, and B, I could also find a better match vis-a-vis an Isser Mises Beis Din, Chayvei Mises Beis Din to Isser Karis. So the Gemara finally concedes. The Gemara says, Kibla minei Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak was mekabel. Rashi over here does offer two pshatim, but the first pshat of Rashi, I'd say the simpler pshat, is just basically, those are good points, I acknowledge these points, and we're going to basically move ahead. And that is, Kidei Rishatzim Mishim Risha Achas HaTamechav Avi HaTamechav Mishim Shei Rishayos Berisha Masura LaBeis and Akasim Medaber. So the Gemara says, okay, and now we're going to say it, and I know I said this at the beginning of the shir, but here's where now the Gemara basically makes the point. Beis Din cannot have a dual punishment for a single act. And even if there are multiple punishments, Beis Din can only give one of the two. And that is learned now from the principle of Risha Achas versus Shei Rishayos. Over here, however, if it's Karis and Malkus, Karis is not a Beis Din imposed penalty. Beis Din is only barred from giving two penalties that are corporal penalties, or penalties that can be administered by Beis Din Shomata. one is based on Shomata and the other one is based on Shomala, that does not violate the rule of Risha Achas. Okay. So far, so good. Now we have a presentation of, so far, the two shitas, the two of the three shitas. We have now gone extensively over the shita of Rabbi Shmuel, that Malkus can be given in a case of even, not only Chayvei Krisos, but even Chayvei Mrs. Beis Din. Rabbi Kiva only will administer Malkus for Chayvei Krisos, not for Chayvei Mrs. Beis Din. And the way we present it up until now is that what is the argument to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel in the case of Chayvei Mrs. Beis Din? Witnesses come over and say, don't violate Shabbos because you're going to be subject to Malkus and Mrs. Beis Din. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you're going to actually get both. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you're only going to get the Misa, you're not going to get the Malkus. That's the way we presented the Machlokas, and in terms of the source behind their positions, so that's been the last almost Amud of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Rava Amar. Rava says, what I'd like to do is I'd like to revisit the Machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, but I would like to frame the Machlokas slightly differently. So, Rava Amar, Asur Bela Ketala Kol Amalo Pligi De'en Loke. Look. If the Edom come over and they say, this is Chol Shabbos. This is you're looking at a capital crime, and they don't say anything about the Malkus. So we're all in agreement, all meaning Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. We're both in agreement that you're not going to get Malkus under those circumstances. I'm sorry, lo pli de'en lo komeis. Ki pliki da'as Rabbi la Malkus. The Machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is in the following scenario. So, The Edom come over, a person's violating Shabbos, and the Edom say, don't do that, that's a law of the Torah, you're going to get Malkus. They don't breathe a word about Chayvei Mrs. Beis Din. Okay, now, again, are the Edom doing right by that? My best guess, of course, is no.
It's not a good warning, technically, right?
So the question is there any validity to that warning whatsoever? The Gemara says, according to Rava, that's the machlokus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel Sever Lav Shanitan Lazarus Mises based in Lokan Alav. Rabbi Shmuel says that in latent in a Lav Mises based in is also a Chayve Malkus as well. Now again, I'd offer to you that for the proper protocol, the right thing for the Edom to do is to warn for the Mises based in. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is also a latent Malkus as well. Now, in the event that the Edom warned for both, according to Rava, you're only going to get the Mises Beis Din, you're not going to get the Malkus. But in the event that the Edom only warned on the Malkus, and not on the Mises Beis Din, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it was there, I don't mean this literally, but it's on the books, and therefore the person is going to be subject to Malkus. Rabbi Kiva, Savra, Lav, Shinitin, Lazarus, Mises Beis Din, Ein, Lokin, Alav. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not there. It doesn't exist. Meaning there simply is no onus Malkus for Chayvei Mrs. Beis Din. And so therefore, when the Edom come along and say, oh, don't be Mechal Shabbos, you know you're going to get Malkus, no such onus exists. And so therefore, the Hasra of those Edom are totally disregarded because they're warning for a punishment that simply does not exist. Rabbi Akiva, Ihachi, Chayvei Krisos, Nami, Lav, Shinitin, Lazarus, Karesu. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, according to Rabbi Akiva, so for the Chayvei Krisos, so can we make the same argument? Once the Torah gives the onus of Kares, so the Malkus just simply doesn't exist, it's not there. So I'm Levi Mordechai, Levi Ashi, Hachem Avim, Imagrin, Yimishmei Derava, Chayvei Krisos, Lo Tzri Chasra. So the Gemara says, no, your argument, your question is fundamentally flawed. Meaning, what was your argument? There is a law for Chayvei Krisos, and the law is there to warn about the punishment of Kares. And again, if that argument is right, if that argument is right, so then that should mean that there's no longer an onus of Malkus, even according to Rabbi Akiva. But what the Gemara's counter-argument is, no, fundamentally you're flawed. The argument is fundamentally flawed. The Azhara for Chayvei Krisos is not for the Kares, because for the Kares, no Hasra is necessary. Meaning, because again, Kares is a penalty that's coming min HaShemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows if you're a mazid, if you're a shogeg, and so therefore no Hasra needs to be issued. And now I made an argument, it's funny, I saw what I just did in my head. Meaning, I made the argument which I thought the Gemara was going to bring. The Gemara gives a different argument. Okay. Sharei Pesach U'milach Anash Afa Pishlo Hizir. So the Gemara says, look, Gemara, so funny. I was so convinced that Gemara was going to give my argument. In preparing the Gemara, I'm like, oh, I know what the Gemara is going to say. I was wrong. And saying over the shear, I did the same thing. Anyway, here's the Gemara's argument. The Gemara's argument is, look, Karban Pesach, right, Mila, the two mitzvahs esse, the two positive commandments of the Torah, where if a person does not do those mitzvahs, he's subject to the Kares penalty. Now, under those circumstances, you're going to get Kares, and you're going to get Kares even without an Azara. Now, Vidilma Azara the Karban. So the Gemara says, now maybe the Azara will come vis-a-vis the Karban. Da Pesach Umila Deleisbu Azara Lo Maisi Karban. Now the Gemara says, look, by Pesach Umila, there is no Azara and there is no Karban. So what the Gemara now is trying to argue is that maybe, yes, there is an Azara. Of course, there's a warning for the Chayvei Krisus, but maybe the Azara is for the bringing of the Karban. So the Gemara says, Hasam Lav Hainu Taima Alem Mishum De'ikish Kol HaTorah Kula Avodas Kochavim. Ma Avodas Kocham Sheva Altase Af Kol Sheva Altase Lafuke Hane Dukam Ase. So the Gemara says, no. Gemara says, as far as Karbanos is concerned, the Lav is not there to be mechayv a carbon. The reason why you're chayv a carbon for lavim, and you're not chayv a carbon for bitul asay, has to do with another drasha altogether. Meaning it has nothing to do with whether the azara of the lav is for the carbon, not for a carbon. No, that has to do with a separate drasha altogether. And again, the Gemara now goes back to the point of, why is there a lav by chayv a krisus? It's not for the onish kares. The onish kares, that doesn't need the azara. Therefore, the Azara is there for only one purpose, and that is for the Malkus, period. Okay. Adkan, that takes us not to the end of the Gemara, not to the end of the discussion, but that takes us now at least to the end of this stage of the Gemara. We have now fleshed out the Machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva regarding Malkus in conjunction with some of the harsher lavim in the Torah. Meaning, is there going to be Malkus in the case of Chayvei Mises Beis Din? Rabbi Shimon says yes. But even that yes, however, as we've now have gone through the entire sugya, so we could say yes in one of two ways. Either we could say yes, there's going to be chayv and malchus, even when the witnesses are warning to both, the chayv and mises beis din and the malchus, that's the first way the Gemara presented it, or the way Rava presents it is that no, Rabbi Shmuel says that you're only going to get malchus if the Edom give hasra for the malchus, not for the mises beis din. But if the Edom gave hasra for mises beis din, even Rabbi Shmuel would tell you you're not going to get malchus. That's Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. Shitas Rabbi Akiva is that there simply is no Malkus when it comes to Chayvei Mises Beis Din. It's not on the books. There's no such onesh. And so for Chayvei Mises Beis Din, even if, now I am presenting it like Rava, but even if you the Edom only give you a Hasra on the Lav, on the Malkus, you're not going to get Malkus for Chayvei Mises Beis Din. That is the harshest Lav in the Torah. Then second down from there, Chayvei Krisus, where the Lav has it with it a Kares penalty. Rabbi Yishmael, of course, says you're going to get Malkus. It goes without saying. And Rabbi Kiva says you're going to get Malkus as well. Why doesn't it violate the rule of Mishum Risha Achas Tzai Mechayvo? So what the Gemara now has been arguing now for the last, for almost an Amud, is that it's different. Why is it different? So it may be because it's revocable, although the Gemara did not like that. We're going to try to resurrect that argument in just a moment. Or the Gemara says it has to do with the fact that it's Gzeira Shava, although the Gemara itself also quibbled on that point. Or the Gemara says that one has to do with the Beis Din Shomala and the other one has to do with Beis Din Shomata, and therefore doesn't violate the rule of Mishum Risha Achas. Finally, Ravina Amar, wrapping up this entire discussion, we are now turning to the top of today's Daf, Yudal Med Aleph, Kidda Amrina Meikara. Ravina said, I like the original argument. The original argument of Kares being revocable, right? Malkus is irrevocable. Once you had witnesses, once you were warned, once you violated a law for Malkus, it's on the books. Basin's going to give it. Basin has to give it. There's no way to say I'm sorry from that point going forward. Malkus is irrevocable, but Kares is revocable. Meaning you did something that was chayve krisus, you do the proper tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the Kares. So it's revocable. The Gemara did not like that argument originally. Why? So the argument of the Gemara earlier was, yes, it's revocable, but right now. You didn't do tshuva. Meaning right now, as you violate the Avera, there's Kares and there's Malkus. And since there's both right now, so you can't get both. That's why the Gemara originally rejected the argument. So Ravina now wants to resurrect the argument. Kidamina Mikara. So we're going to go back to what we said originally. So what did you say in terms of dismissing the argument? Yeah, but Lamaisa right now he didn't do tshuva. To which the Gemara says, lo psika milsa lakaris. So the Gemara says, look, it's true that right now it's on the books, but still, you can't deny the weakness of the Kari's penalty. Because even though it's on the books, but as long as there's a chance that it can be expunged, so it's not going to be as cut and dry, as black and white, as a corporal punishment. Corporal punishment is black and white. Once the person violated it, he has no choice but to get the onesh. Kari, since it is expungible, I don't know if that's a word, but I like it. Since it is expungible, so therefore, it's not going to be counted towards the shtei rishayos, and therefore, the only punishment that we're really looking at is the punishment of Malkus, not of Karis. So Ravina resurrected the argument that the Gemara dismissed almost an amud ago. Okay. Brings us now finally to the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak. After spending an amud and plus in the Gemara discussing the sheetas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, vis-a-vis, is there going to be Malkus and Chayvi Mises based in? Rabbi Shmuel says yes, Rabbi Kiva says no. Is there going to be Malkus by Chayvi Krisus? Both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva say yes. Rabbi Yitzchak now has a third sheet on the Brisa, and that is no. When it comes to Chayvi Krisus, any of the Yisuri Krisus in the Torah, even though Adam come along, and even though Adam say don't do that, you're going to get Malkus, Rabbi Yitzchak says there is no Malkus for such an Avera. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, and as we explained earlier, when originally presenting Rabbi Yitzchak, he notes that the Torah, when the Torah describes a man having relations with a sister, one of the Yisurei Arayos in the Torah, Karis bearing, so the Torah mentions that you're going to get Karis. The Torah mentions it both in Achrimos, and it also mentions in Parshas Kedoshim as well. Why would the Torah need to repeat it? So Rabbi Yitzchak says, because it's Karis, to the exclusion of Malkus. And on top of that, you also apply the rule of the Yugim Amidah Shatana Jeshus Baham, is that once the Torah draws out a point regarding one of the examples, it applies to all the examples as well. And so Rav Yitzchak says that for any of the Ichayvi Krisis in the Torah, so one is not going to be, there's no Malkus penalty whatsoever. Okay. The Gemara now discusses. Karis Ba'achosov, sorry, missed an important word. V'rabanan, Karis Ba'achosov Lamali. So according to the Chachamim, meaning Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, so they have to acknowledge that Karis is repeated by Achoso. And so why? Meaning, and they obviously don't agree with Rabbi Yitzchak's conclusion. So they must draw a different conclusion. So the Gemara says, L'chalik, Uchid Rav Yochanan, Dam Rav Yochanan, Imasa Kulam Be'alam Achad, Chayva Kol Achas V'Achas. So the Torah says that what the Torah is doing by Achoso is telling me that it's a independent lav. I don't really mean independent. It's not the best word to describe it. It's separate. Individualized. Oh, that's better. So it's an individualized lav. Meaning, what I could have argued is that look, Arias is an aver in the Torah, and there are multiple examples of Arias. Meaning one sister, I'm right now just choosing from the ones that are just chayv karis. Right, one sisters, one aunt, right, all the siblings, right, paternal aunt, maternal aunt. Okay, so in other words, but they're all really just arayas. Let's say a person had a bad day. I'm being generous when I say that. Let's say a person had a bad day and violated multiple arayas with multiple women, so that are all karis bearing, and he did all that in a state of shogeg. I know it really is hard to imagine how that becomes the case of shogeg, but again, I'm just discussing it right now as it relates to just the simple halacha. And he did it all b'shogeg. One could make the argument, oh, he's just repeating the same avera. And in other words, it's all the avera of arayos. And you know that repeated acts of shogeg with no state of awareness in between, so really are all grouped together, and therefore you should be chayv only one carbon in the event that you did so b'shogeg. What Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Kiva now are teaching us is that the reason why the Torah sends a karis and repeats it by a choso is to tell us that a choso is an individualized avera, and therefore when a person does multiple acts of arayos with multiple women, so he's going to be chayiv al kol achas v'achas. So he's subject to have to bring a carbon chatzis in the event that he did shogeg with these different women. Rav Yitzchak lechalak menale. Now Rav Yitzchak agrees with this principle. Where does he know it from? So nafkale may ve'el isha benida tum asa. So the Torah says, the Torah in the parsha of Arayos goes over the case of nida. The Torah could have just simply said ule nida. It says el isha benida. The word isha is extraneous. So lechayv I'll call isha v'isha. And Rabbi Yitzchak, that's where he makes the deduction of this point. That when a person violates different arayos, he'll be chayv a carbon kares, sorry, he'll be chayv a carbon chatas for each of the arayos. V'rabbananami typically meha. So enachinami. The Gemara says, now, that's a great source. And why don't Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva use that as a source in the Gemara acknowledges they do. So ela kares achar salamali, back to the drawing board. So according to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, what do they learn out from the repeated kares by achosa. L'chai v'alachos v'alachos avi v'alachos ima. So, pshita gufa muchlakim, the harishem was muchlakim. So the Gemara says, well, let's say a person had relations with his sister, and his father's sister, and his mother's sister. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, so we're going to learn from achoso that they're individualized, and therefore if he did all three of them a shogeg, he's going to be chai for all three. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Now the Gemara says, I need another limud for that point. It's kind of obvious. Meaning those are three different women, and Shemus Mukhlakim, and three different Isurim. And once we've already established that, the Arayas are separate. And here, separate is separate. And here it's not only separate, but three separate women. So what would you have thought? Ela l'chayv al-achoso shi'achos aviv shi'achos imo ve'ich mishkach la'berushi barushi. So the Gemara says, well, envision, and this is a terrible thing to envision, but envision a woman who is both your sister and your mother's sister and your father's sister. Now, you'll forgive me, although I don't have to ask for a lot of forgiveness, but you'll forgive me right now as I'm not going to map out the family tree of how this is possible, but either trust me or go through Rashi. But I'm telling you it's possible that a woman could be your sister and your mother's sister, and your father's sister. The case is a little bit convoluted, and obviously, in order to get here, there has to be multiple violations that have to occur in order to arrive at that point. Again, for our purposes right now, you'll trust me, or you'll do your homework tonight. It's possible to arrive at a scenario where a woman is your sister, and your mother's sister, and your father's sister, and so in such a scenario, which I understand is highly unlikely, I get it. But in such a scenario, when a man has relations with such a woman, so now you could have made the argument that if he does so in a state of shogeg, so he'll only be chayav of one carbon chatas. So what the Torah now has to be mechadish, according to Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is that under such a circumstance, the person would be chayav of three separate carbon chatases. Okay. Rav Yitzchak Hamanale. Now, according to Rav Yitzchak, so where would this point come from? Meaning that if a man has relations with one woman, and that woman has in her multiple averas, that he'll be chayav of multiple karbanos. So nafkalei mikavachomer ditnan. I'm Rabbi Kiva Shaltis, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua beitlo shel imam. We were out in the market. Hal chulikach behem lemishta. So benosha Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Gamliel, was getting married. And so they went out to the market in order to buy food for the chasna. And what do you think they're talking about? The answer is obvious. They're only talking in Torah. Now, the topic of Torah that they chose to talk about is, I guess, a little bit strange, considering that it's the day of their chasna. But again, for them, again, it's a discussion of Torah, Kedosha. And for them, the topic matter that doesn't faze them. So the Gemara says, Habal achos shiachos avi shiachos imo. So mahu. So person has bia with a sister who at the same time is also your father's sister and your mother's sister, and it's done in one state of awareness. So mau, so ein ochayev al kulan ela achas ochayev al kol achas va'achas. So is that going to be one chiva, one carbon chatzas, or three separate carbonas? Amr lo. So both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yeshua respond back to Rabbi Kiva. Zulo shamanu. Good question. I don't know. But aval shamanu ba, I'm sorry, habal chamish nashim nidos ba'alam echas shechayev kol achas v'achas. So a man has relations with five separate women. They all are nidos. He's going to be chayav for each one. Vinir and dvarim. And now Rabbi Gamliel says, so let's think this through. So uma nidos is shem echad chayav kol achas v'achas kanshas shlosh shem aslo kol shekein. So the argument is, look, it's really the same avera repeated five times. Now, obviously, the counter-argument, which the Gemara is about to point out, is that those are five different women. But right now, put the counter-argument on the back burner. Right now, just focus on the fact that it's the same avera being repeated. And for the same avera being repeated five separate times, a person's going to be chayav five separate karbanos. So for one act that has three different averas, achoso, achos aviv, achos imo, those are three separate psukim in the Torah, three separate averos, so for sure you're going to be chayav three separate karbanos. V'idach, kavachomer pirchehi, malanita shekein gufa muchlakin. So, and the counter-argument is, as I whispered under my breath, the counter-argument is, how could you compare? In other words, a man having relations with five different women, those are five different women. Gufan muchlakin. Right? Literally here, and figuratively, but literally, five different bodies. So in other words, the Aveira is being repeated with five different women. So of course you're going to be five different karbanos. Over here, it's the same woman. I don't know if the kalvachomer really works. And right. And the Gemara acknowledges, even from the other side, you can't ignore the pircha, meaning the pircha is obvious. So the Gemara says, well, what did we learn it from? We learned it from the second achoso, meaning, like I said, in the beginning of the shir. There are two achosos in the Torah, one in Achrimos, the other in Kedoshim. Karis is mentioned in Achrimos. Karis is also mentioned in Kedoshim as well. So it's the second achoso, meaning the one in Kedoshim, where there the Torah not only repeats the avera of achoso, but also repeats karis as well. That's what we learn out. V'idach, achoso de sefer lama l'chayv al achoso, bas aviv, bas imo. Now, what's the counter-argument? The counter-argument to that is as follows. Do you know why Karis is repeated in the second Achoso? It comes to tell me, what if she's your full sister? Oddly enough, the Torah, when describing the arayis of one sister, the Torah says she is your sister through your father, or she's a sister of your mother. What about the case where she's the sister of both your father and your mother? Right? Usually the case, where she's your full sister. The argument seems to be pretty simple. If one is going to be subject to a punishment for a half-sister, one for sure is going to be subject to a punishment for a full-sister. And what do we say about that argument? It's a great argument, right? We do say it's a great argument. Ein onshin min adin. Yeah, but you don't punish somebody based on a kal v'chomer. So the Gemara says exactly. That's what we learn out from the second karis. V'idach. Now the counter-argument to that is, ibay sema gamar onish me'azara. So the counter argument to that is, look, I agree with you. I know your point is right, but we already made that point regarding the Azara. So since we already made that point from the Azara, meaning back in Achrimos, so it does need to be repeated by the Onish. Therefore, the Karis by the second Achoso is still available. And once it's still available, it can come to teach us this halacha of three Chayvei, three carbon chatuses for one woman who represents both your sister, your father's sister, and your mother's sister. Ibai Zema, Nafkale, or we could also say that this point is being deduced, Me Achoso Deresha. That we already learned this point out from the Achoso in Achremos. V'idach, and as far as the counter argument to that is concerned, Haumi Baile Lechalek Kares Lemafatem Velasach. As far as what the Chachamim will do with that extra achoso in the beginning of the pasuk, he comes to teach me that there are two separate karises for both replicating the Shemin HaMishcha and anointing oneself with the Shemin HaMishcha. The idach, and the counter argument to that is Savar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yoshi, Damar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yoshi, Kamakum Shatamot, Shnei Lavim, the karis echad chalukin hein lekarban. When I have multiple isurim with one kares, but because there are multiple yisurim, there are multiple lavim in the same pasuk, so therefore they're going to be divided for separate karbanos. Okay. The Gemara is going to keep ping-ponging back and forth. Well, actually, let's finish this up. V'i ba'i seima, lo sevela kareb lazer. Or the Gemara say that we just simply doesn't subscribe to the Ruv Reb Lazar. Nafkale Isha Sheishkav is Isha Dava. So over there in that pasuk regarding the Nida, the Torah repeats. So in other words, she has Tumas Nida, and the in the parsha of Achrimos, the Torah already mentioned that she'll be subject to the Kari's penalty. So again, the repetition of the Kari's penalty for the Nida in Parshas Kedoshim allows us to learn this point. V'idach, ha'omi b'ayle l'chad Rabbi Yochanan dam Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochanan minayin. She'ina isha temeya ad she'yetzei madve derech irvasa. So the Gemara says, well, as far as the repetition of that pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim comes to teach us a separate halacha. Not a halacha having anything to do with onish, but having to do rather with the halachas of tumas nida. A woman is a nida when she has a discharge, but the discharge must come out derech ervasa. Shenem ravisha sheishkav is isha davav gilas ervasa. Malam shein aisha metmea ashiatzei madve derech ervasa. So, in other words, the discharge flow must come out through the derech erva. Then and only then is a woman going to be have tumas nida. Otherwise, a woman's not going to have tumas nida. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the next section of the Mishnah. Recap. Today, we really highlighted the three shittos amongst the Tanaim, when a person is going to be subject to Malkus. Rabbi Shmuel says that you'll be subject to Malkus in a situation of even Chayvei Mises Beis Din. Again, there are two ways to say that over the Gemara and the Anyud Gimel Amud Beis, in terms of how Rabbi Shmuel is going to be giving Malkus with the Misa, or if he was just warned for the Malkus, not for Misa. But either way, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is on the books a punishment of Malkus even in Chayvei Mises Beis Din. Rabbi Kiva says that there's only a punishment of Malkus for Chayvei Krisus, not for Chayvei Mises Beis Din, based on the principle of Mishum Risha Achas, Atav Mechayv, Aviyatam Mechayv, Mishim Shevishayos. And the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak is that for Isuri Karis, there's no Malkus on the books, and it's just Isur Karis, and there's not going to be Malkus. So Halacha obviously follows like the, not obviously. The halacha falls like the middle position, like Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah represents the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. There's only Malkus for Isur Yekares, not for Chayvei Mises Beis Din.